who is paying attention to kind of the unwritten rules or the rules that you just know because you are a part of being here, and who has no idea what's going on. And Jesus says that's not what it's about. And he says it in kind of a harsh way. He quotes Isaiah, and he says to them, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines, teaching human-made rules as the absolute, as the way to be." And then he goes on to talk about what it is to follow God, what it looks like for us to be doers of the word. And he says that the things that have us apart from God are not actually the made-up rules that we make for ourselves. They are the things that come out of us. What undergirds the rules that we heard tonight about fornication, and I mean, that's really the one that sticks out for all of us, right? About envy and slander and pride and wickedness and murder and adultery. That's what undergirds all of that, is about how we treat each other. It's about how we pay attention to the person that's in front of us and not treat them as someone who is just there for us, not treat them as an object, but treat them as beloved, as made in the image of God, as important. It's not like don't ever have sex, which, you know, some people could read that as. I don't. But it's pay attention to who's in front of you. And that's what we come to community to do. We come to practice following the God who breathed love into us and made us as we are. We come to practice following that God with each other. Because I have this theory that actually I can't be a person of faith by myself. I cannot follow Christ all by myself. I can certainly read Scripture by myself. I can reflect on Scripture by myself. But I can't practice following the Jesus who came to be in relationship with us all by myself. I have to come and do it with you. I have to come and do it with whoever chooses to walk through that door. And one of the most beautiful and irritating things about church is that I have no control over who comes in here. That I have to practice being in community with people who are both like me and hold the same politics as me, and those who are nothing like me. So 4 years ago, Andrew and I dreamed, or followed, I think maybe a bit of a dream and a bit of an invitation of the Spirit, to plant this congregation of St. Bridget with an understanding that we wanted to be in community or have Christian community with people who could hold the affirmation that the LGBTQ2S community are beloved and made in the image of God. We said that that was absolutely a non-negotiable for us, that we wanted to be an affirming community, but that that was the only thing that we were non-negotiable about. And I'm not actually sure that that's true anymore. I mean, I think our affirming stance still is absolutely true. But I think that another non-negotiable that maybe we've learned a little bit about this summer is that we also really want to live and behave in a way that has us treating each other as beloved and cared for and made in the image of God. Because one of the things that I've learned about the people who have started to show up here at St. Bridget is that they know what it looks like when the table is made smaller, or when we take seats away so that they don't feel like they belong anymore, or are told that they can't be here anymore for any number of reasons, particularly because of the way that they are made or because of who they love. And so the gift, I think, that we offer as an affirming community is that we know what that feels like, and we know how to make the table bigger. We know how to make sure that there are seats for everyone. And my dream for us is that we fill these seats, that we tell this story, that we learn together how to make the table bigger, that we pay attention to the folks who come in the door for the very first time, and we make sure that there's space for them, whether they are children, and I really have a hope for children. I mean, not personally, I have children, but like in the community. I don't need any more of my own. But, you know, children with like the messiness and the loudness and the craziness that they offer, that we would find a way to invite folks who may be searching for a place to be that is affirming, that we would find ways to notice folks who need a space at the table, either this table that is behind me or the tables that are downstairs at coffee hour. Because I believe that if we are only practicing being in community with people that are just like us, then we aren't actually practicing being in community, because it's really easy to be in community with people who hold all of the same beliefs as me, right? It's really easy. But if we can hold the base that we are an affirming congregation and that we will seek to acknowledge the person in front of us as beloved and made in the image of God, that we will seek to make the table bigger and longer, then I believe that that is the thing that we offer. I believe that that is the gold that we have in this community. I was driving this week to a small group leaders meeting with Richard, and we were talking about how when we make the table longer, we don't actually lose anything. I don't lose anything by making sure that you also feel beloved or welcome, but I gain the possibility of learning what Jesus looks like. I gain the possibility of deepening my own faith walk, and I gain the possibility of following Christ a little bit better because I made space for you. So when I think about the question, why church and why this church, I think, why church? Because I can't do this by myself, because I have to be in community with people to practice what following Jesus looks like. And I have to be in community with people that don't agree with me all the time, because I don't learn anything by living in my own little silo. And our world makes it so possible to live in my own little silo, right? Like, I can only follow people on Instagram or Facebook or be in conversation in my life, in my little circle, with people who think just like me, or at least similarly enough that we don't have to fight about it. But in church, where I have no control over who walks through the door, I don't have that. And how great. How amazing. And why this church? Because we know what it feels like when the table isn't big enough for everybody. And we know how to make it longer. And we know how to pull out a chair. And we know how to seek the beloved, or at least we know how to practice trying. Amen.